Hope Lives Here is the podcast of City Union Mission in Kansas City. Since 1924, the homeless and impoverished have found hope and healing through this evangelical ministry. This podcast is designed to help you discover City Union Mission's origins, history, programs, and its people, and the mission's love for those who need love most. Enjoy this episode of Hope Lives Here.
Well, I'm Chris Michael. Welcome to another episode of Hope Lives Here, the podcast. And so many people are familiar with the men's shelter at City Union Mission, but the mission also provides services and programs and ministry for women and families. And that's what we're looking at on this episode. Our guest is Billy Hastings, Director of Women and Family Ministry at City Union Mission. What's available through this part of City Union Mission? What's the environment like there? And what programs are available for women to put them on a course for future success through what's offered at City Union Mission? So, Billy, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Chris.
So let's talk about the facilities that you run and give us kind of an overview of what's available there.
Absolutely. So I do direct the work of Women and Family Ministries, which has five different departments. And so we have your traditional emergency shelter housing that people think about when they think about emergency services. The second thing we have is a long-term program for those who decide that they want recovery in their life and that they want a new life with the Lord and want to walk through what that would look like to have life recovery. We call it the New Life Program. It is a one-year program for women as well as their families to be able to work through their stuck points, to work through addiction recovery and things of that nature. The third department we have is our community assistance department, which is led by our associate director. And that is for those who are not homeless, but we actually have identified people who have are at risk of becoming homeless. It's for families, it's for women, it's for those who truly are deemed at risk by some metrics and things that we have determined to try to keep money in their pockets and make sure they don't need our emergency services or long-term programs. We also have two areas that are for the family, that is the youth department. For those who are staying in our shelter, we have services that we provide, after-school care, a little bit of your traditional after-school care that we focus on, again, trying to make sure that people do not become statistics and become homeless in years, again, that we don't want to see young kids walking through the same path that their parents have walked through. And we work through educational resources. We make it a fun environment. There's games and activities and things there, and we share the hope of Christ in that environment as well. And then fifth, which is a really fun one, is we have a camp. City Union Mission runs a family camp with hundreds of acres in the Ozarks. It's a couple hours away from the city, and it's an opportunity for a changed life is what we say there, that through a week at camp, so many kids come to a faith in Christ and have an opportunity to really step out of their environment that they are living in day to day and meet with healthy, whole people. And we provide hospitality in a way that's a little bit different than the biblical hospitality, which we provide in our daily services through the rest of it. So those are the five areas for Women and Family Ministries. There's a lot on.
So how does a woman or a family reach out to the Family Center for the first time for help?
That is a great question. We have a hotline that's a 24-hour-a-day hotline that's actually staffed at the Women and Family Center. And I'm going to go ahead and give that number because I think that's an important thing for people to have. It's 816-474-4599. And really what a woman would do is she would just call and see if we have space available. I always encourage people to call first thing. We're pretty much full almost every night of the year. So we really have limited capacity. We hate turning people away and hate not being able to provide hospitality, but we do love serving those that we're able to. And so that's the best way to do it. Just get in contact via the hotline.
So walk us through, a woman or family is accepted into the Family Center. What happens after that to kind of get them settled in?
The thing that we try to really do, and I know this has been mentioned before, is we provide that biblical hospitality at the front door. So it really starts with loving people because Christ loved us first. And so since he has loved us first, we want to really walk through what that looks like and making sure that we have a safe environment. You might have people who are coming from challenging home lives, that they're being dropped off by the police, that they're avoiding situations that are very, very traumatic, and helping to make sure that their trauma is going to be dealt with in a safe way, that there's a hospitality that we are providing to them, that somebody comes in the door after they've made that reservation, they're going to have an intake that is done. where part of what that is making sure that people understand the rules of just, hey, this is a safe place for community living that you're going to be walking through with other people. But there is a big component that what we really want to do is provide hospitality in a way that we say it's our three C's. That there's compassion, that there's collaboration, as well as competence that we're trying to provide and give to our guests that they're coming through the door. And that compassion is really walking through and saying, hey, again, we are compassionate because Christ loved us first. Second, that opportunity for collaboration, that we want to work with them. We want to make sure that we have the right services. If there's also things that are in the city that we're needing to connect people to for resources, we will do that. We'll help people with that and walk through that. But that means that we have to be competent. We have to be competent, and we see that biblically, all over scriptures, people are competent with their skills and their training, the things that they offer and that they provide. And so when somebody comes in, we just make sure and point out some of the physical things. Hey, there's a door here. There's a fence beyond it. You're safe. Let's take a breath. Let's provide you a glass of water. I think about that often in the scriptures. It talks about there's a spot where Christ says, you know, to serve somebody with a cup of cool water in his name. Well, we get to physically do that. We provide physical space for people to experience a moment where they can take a breath and ultimately then hopefully meet the living God.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Billy's going to be talking about case managers, counselors, things that are helping ladies and families find their futures. We'll do that here in just a bit.
They face challenges. You provide hope. Thanks for supporting Kansas City's City Union Mission.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to serve your community? Have you ever thought about a job with a faith-based organization? City Union Mission has a number of open positions in a variety of areas. Case managers, food service, counselors, maintenance, and more. Visit cityunionmission.org and see how you can positively impact the lives of homeless men, women, and children in Kansas City. There's nothing quite like being there for others in their time of need.
Here's more of Hope Lives Here, the podcast from City Union Mission in Kansas City.
All right, let's talk about case management and counseling that you provide to help these women pretty much chart a course for future success. Talk about that just a bit.
Absolutely. So if somebody shows up at our center and they're needing emergency services, we put them in our first-time emergency program that for 14 days they have a bed with an opportunity for them and their family to first get settled in to be safe, and then we meet with a case manager. So that happens ideally within the first 48 hours. We like to do that as quickly as possible and put together a plan for case management while they're a short-term guest. So in those 14 days, as long as somebody is working their plan, that they're being successful in that they are taking steps towards ownership of their life and what led to their homeless situation, we then continue to extend the stay. But we want to make sure that there's growth. We want to make sure that people are walking forward and that they are seeking that life out for themselves, and so that we are helping them along the way. With that too, we have licensed professional counselors as well on staff. And so we have an opportunity that as somebody comes in the door, that they get to meet with a counselor and that they will sit down with a counselor if they so desire to meet with them and walk through potentially some of their trauma. And so if that's somebody who is a short-term guest, we would walk through that and some of those moments and those things that are presenting in front of them. But we also might walk through and say, hey, there's a reality that in a longer-term setting, if you have a chronic cycle of homelessness, it's not just that you're walking through this for the first time. If this has been a problem, if this has become something that is a repeat thing, there's probably deeper issues that need to be addressed. So we want to walk through that with our guests and say, hey, we have counseling that's immediately available if you're here for a short term, but also we have counseling as part of our long-term program, our New Life program, that you would meet with a counselor weekly for the entire duration of your stay, and a case manager. So case management might look very specific to your life and say, hey, I physically need certain things in my life. I'm understanding that I need to get medical services in my life that maybe I've neglected for a while. I need to get my kids set up in education, and they're right now we're homeless, but we don't have a school set up. Well, let's work on that together. Let's make sure that we're walking through those things, both in case management and counseling. And again, that speaks to the collaboration of, we have a holistic team who's trying to meet the needs of that person as we walk through not just having a bed, because if we're just providing that, we're really not meeting them holistically where they're at.
You mentioned long-term programs. Talk a bit about what's available over there.
Absolutely. So our long-term program, the New Life program, we have a curriculum that is built that is based upon classes as well as case management as well as counseling. And so it is holistic. Again, we can't just walk through only classes and expect somebody to on the back end go, oh, yep, I'm now a changed person. I have heard the news, and so because I've heard the news, I'm good. Well, that's head knowledge. So there's heart knowledge that has to happen. That often is done in groups. That's often done in counseling, and that's sometimes done in case management as well. But walking through, hey, what's going on here? And I always say it's a heart issue that we have for people that we're trying to walk through. What's the deeper heart issue beyond your homelessness? What is that that it ultimately is? And as believers, we know that the opportunity that's on offer is a relationship with Christ. What's really the deep heart issue is that in some way, in some place, we're off track here. We can walk through that, and we need to walk through that in a way that there's a complex developmental traumas often that have been presented and are issues with our guests that we say, we want to present you with the hope and love of Christ, but let's do walk through your trauma. Let's do walk through your underemployment. We have vocational ministries and such to help people find jobs. We also have opportunities that people might want to earn their high school diploma or their education if they haven't done that. We do that in a learning center that we have that is for our long-term guests that are committing to this program to help them get the education and such that they need. We also have partnerships through other local agencies that aren't within our immediate doors of City Union Mission, but we want to collaborate and work with other agencies to help people get the services and the things that vocationally is going to help break their cycle of homelessness as well. But if you only start with housing first, you're going to find that it meets an immediate need. However, it doesn't meet the deeper needs of what's going on with that person. And so there's a picture that we often say that's the 20-minute conversation, that we have this 20-minute conversation and walk through these different things of saying, hey, sure, you can run out this door and go get housing today. But we don't think that's best because you've got relational issues, that you've got boundary issues, that you've got financial issues, that you have deep spiritual issues, that you need a church family, that you need a relationship with God if you don't have that relationship, that we want to holistically walk through this with our guests. And so a New Life program really helps walk through that for our guests and creates a bit of a structure, a Monday through Friday structure that has a little bit like a job, if you would, that there is a structure for our guests during the daytime hours to help them start living holistic and healthier lives with that counseling, with case management, with vocational development, and with classwork.
Women and children that come to you have medical needs. How is that addressed?
That's a great question. So we have a little clinic that is on site, and so people are able to meet their medical needs as through that location. So we have a nurse who's on staff, and she is able to see guests each of the mornings that she is there. So she comes over to the family center and does assessments and physicals, and also will help guests who already have prescriptions and things that are in place. We can also do referrals through a couple of different agencies and a hospital as well that's local to help people who are homeless. We can send them with a homelessness letter to help meet those medical needs for them. So have it on site for those immediate triage and trauma and to help with the day-to-day care. But we have partners and agencies throughout the city that we work with that can even in a deeper level help meet that as well.
You touched on it a little bit that some women come to you who have experienced domestic violence, family conflict. What is in place to make it a safe environment over there at the family shelter?
So a lot of that starts with our culture that we create. And so the culture that we create has to be, first of all, truly hospitable in such a way that it's not going to create its own trauma and its own setting. Coming into a place like a shelter where you are living with 75 other people or a center that has 75 other people has a dynamic to it that creates a bit of unease, that there's something that is unknown about this. You don't know these other people that you're coming in with and sharing meals with each night. And so much of life happens in this space with these other people that we want to make sure that that is not going to become a problem for them as well. But the physical safety of how we're set up, there's a security door that we walk through at the very front of our building, and our guests experience and walk through that. We ask that all of our guests come and leave through that one location. And beyond that, that even. We actually have a physical gate that is determined by a security person who's sitting within the building that gives access. So to that point, when somebody comes for an intake and if they're coming from a domestic violence situation or the police are helping them escape a difficult situation, we sit down for an intake and there is deep trauma and you can see that the adrenaline is pumping and there is a fear that is going on within them. We say, hey, you're safe. Look at this giant door that's between you and the outside world. Did you see what was beyond that? There was a fence beyond that. That's secure. The gate's closed right now. Let's take a breath. Can I go ahead and get you a glass of water? Can I pray with you? I want to make sure that you understand the rules here so that there's not unknowns. And so we go over, we have a 2-page policy of rules. Make sure that people stay and expectation is known. Because when there are rules that aren't clearly stated, we can actually have really codependent and really unhealthy relationships that are built with other guests. Oh, well, you know, they don't really enforce that rule or this, that. Well, we have to be compassionate. We have to truly be competent and do so in such a way that we are consistently showing that we are a safe place. And why is that? Because Christ was a safe person for us. Christ is a safe person, that God came and showed compassion to us in such a way that he made a safe way. When life felt challenging in each of our lives, the hope of the gospel, the hope of this world came and stepped into many of our worlds when we needed safety. So we get to model physical safety so that we can hopefully ultimately show people that they have a good God who is a safe God as well.
Unlike the men's shelter, children factor into the family shelter. What does life at the family center look like for them?
That's a great question. And so it depends a little bit on the time of the year. And so in the summer months, we do what we call as city camp, is what we do call it. So during the day when we have city camp running, that is an opportunity for children to just be a kid. I mean, ultimately, it's to get to have fun. They go to the pool. They will go to different outings. They might go to the lake. They might go upstairs to the gymnasium. So during the summer months, we have what we call SOS, and people go, oh, that sounds terrifying. Well, that's just the school's out schedule is what we have. So our school's out schedule looks like this, that it's that unique component of caring for kids during the day when school is not in session. During the school year, however, that's a different thing, that when a student gets off of school, that they bus drops them off at the mission at the front door. Many of the kids love and run to the VYC, which is our Vandenberg Youth Center, that does. It has a gym, and we provide snacks and meals, and we do work on education because we want to make sure many of our guests, their children are behind in their academics, sometimes 2, 3, 4 years, that we aggressively and intentionally try to walk out a plan to help those kids get to a better place educationally. Because one, no kid likes to admit that they're behind in school. So to do so at school can actually be a really dangerous and scary place for a kid to do that. But to do that in a safe place with adults that are healthy, with adults that are trained to help them with their education, we walk through that. On a daily basis, we walk through educational components and try to help a kid ultimately get to a healthier point. Because sadly, there's a statistic right now that is the number of beds that they're making for prisons is based off of kids who are behind at a third grade reading level. Mm. So a kid gets to third grade, and if he is behind, the prison system is making more beds for that kid. That is a tragedy. We do not want to support that. Our kids are not a statistic. I'm not saying that they are, but we want to do all in our power to make sure that they are walking in freedom, that they have educational opportunities, that they have the opportunity to thrive. And so some of that is just being a kid in the evening and they get to go roll around upstairs. I hear it right above my office and it's actually a lot of fun. It reminds me when I hear kids rolling around on a scooter to pray for the ministry that's going on upstairs, because there's kids that are experiencing and feeling and seeing the love of Christ through other people who are hired as staff of mine to work in such a way to care for these kids. And so that's what it looks like for kids. It's the Vandenberg Youth Center takes care of kids. It's an after-school program. And it's also a community program that a lot of people don't realize this. And we don't have a ton of people who come from the community, but we would love to have community kids and participants after school. We can pick up kids at their local schools, bring them to the Vandenberg Youth Center, have a snack. We can even have dinner. We do chapel with our kids as well on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and walk through what it looks like to experience and see whole, health, safe adults. That's the goal. That's the hope. And as they do see that, as they walk through these things, many times questions come up. I was actually having a conversation today with one of our youth, and it was conversations and questions about problems of evil and is God good? And saying, oh yeah, God is good. And there is a real God who loves you where you're at today, in the trauma, in the tragedy. All our kids come with a lot of that same trauma. that mom and dad came through as well. But they handle it in a different way. It's a different reality for a kid who is, you know, 17 years old or 12 years old or 6 years old. But they were still there. They still experienced the reality of losing their home that brought them here. They still experienced some of that DV or domestic violence that was going on. So we need to biblically show them in simple ways that we live out and walk out the gospel in front of our kids as well as our other parents, that they then see what it looks like, a possible life with God.
Let's finish this way. How can we pray for you? How can we pray for your staff? How can we pray for the ministry that you're providing over there at the Family Center?
Absolutely. We appreciate and covet all prayers. I find so often that there are people who pray for us that I don't even know are praying for us, and we need it and realize that our arms are being lifted up, much like Moses' arms were in the Old Testament. And so we thank you for that, for those who already do pray. But one of the ways we could specifically pray is, just like everybody else, it has been a long season of many years of ministry and just working through the implications after a pandemic. There's a lot of tiredness. There's a lot of fatigue. There's a lot of staff that are feeling the weight of what we've been doing. And not just because of that. It's because we're a 24-hour-a-day building. So 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're dealing with people who come in at their lowest of lows. So remember that and pray for those who are having those biblical conversations, those hospitality conversations. And we frequently pray for our guests and say, hey, can I pray for you? Can I step in? So if you would link arms with us and pray as well, that's a huge way to pray for our guests, for those who are coming in even tonight, they're experiencing homelessness for the first time. Pray for our kids, those kids who are going to be needing services tonight and getting to hang out with the Vandenberg Youth Department. Pray for those in just a few short months. It sounds crazy. We'll start doing signups for camp and take hundreds of kids to camp. Pray for their hearts. Pray for the Lord to work in such a way that Jesus will really captivate them, that he will free them from the things that they're struggling with, because he'll meet them where they're at. He comes and he breaks the captive free. And so please pray to that end that he would continue to be at work in redemption, and that he would be redeeming lives, and that he would be restoring families. He would be making things new, and that when we have people launching out of the Women and Family Center, we have holistically supported them in such a way that they are at a healthier place than when they came, and they're closer to their God.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you,
Chris. All right. Billy Hastings, Director of Women and Family Ministry here at City Union Mission. Next time, Dr. Terry Megley is on again, the mission's Chief Executive Officer, and he'll be our guest. What are the life events and circumstances that are leading men to homelessness? What typically causes homelessness for women and couples? We'll find out next time when we visit with Dr. Terry Megley here on Hope Lives Here from City Union Mission.
Hope Lives Here is the podcast of City Union Mission in Kansas City. Send your comments to Hope Lives Here, the podcast, at cityunionmission.org. And find out more by visiting our website at www.cityunionmission.org.